Would the children like to come forward at this time? Jack, you want to come up here? Okay. Can Jack sit here? Okay. True greatness comes in serving others. Now I have two key rings here. You can look at them. You look at the keys. Do you think one of them is more important than any of the others? No? Well, that's correct. Because this one, if I want to start... Okay, this one here, if I want to start my car, at that time, that would be the most important one. This one here is to open my toolbox at work. If I don't open that, I can't work. This one's to open my house. There's one on there to open the church. One to open the youth building. Do you think those keys would think that one is greater than the other? Do you think if they could talk, they would think that?
Yeah.
Yeah, they would, probably, yes.
And I think I know
what... Yeah, I bet you do. But it would be pretty silly to think one of these is more important, because it depends, you know, they're all individual, and it depends at what we need them for. One is more important than the other. Have you ever heard people arguing about themselves, which is the greatest?
Yeah.
Yes. If anybody has been around a couple of years, they may have remember Muhammad Ali. He used to say, "I am the greatest." Well, you know, even the disciples had that problem. One day when they were traveling with Jesus, they were arguing amongst themselves about who was the greatest. And Jesus overheard them, and when they got to a place where they were going, he asked, "What were you arguing about on the road?" The disciples suddenly got very quiet. I think they were very embarrassed, because I think they realized that they were doing something wrong. So Jesus sat down and called his disciples to him. "If anyone wants to be first," he said, "he must be the very last and be the servant of everyone." That wasn't exactly what the disciples wanted to hear, because they were like us. They had some pride issues. They were hoping to hear Jesus say that they were going to have a position of great importance in God's kingdom. But Jesus called a little child over to them, took him in his arms, and said, "Anyone who welcomes one of these little children also welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me also welcomes the one who sent me." If I were to ask you, who do you think is the greatest person that ever lived? God, and that would be Jesus, because Jesus is God. That's correct, yes. That's true. There is no better person. Yes. I was glad to hear that the children know that. That is very good. When you think about Jesus, sometimes we really don't really think about what he gave up, because we don't even know all the glory that he had in heaven. But he gave all of that down, gave all of that up to come down and be the servant of all of us. And that's what we should all do in our lives, be the servant of others. Well, thank you very much. I think, are there treats? We have treats.
Good morning. Does anyone know what today is? Oh, that's right. It's Groundhog Day. And I did hear somebody said he did see his shadow even though it was raining. That's what I heard. That's official. Every year our family watches the movie Groundhog Day. In case you never saw it, here's a little background about the movie. Bill Murray plays Phil, a TV weatherman working for a local station in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, but convinced that national news stardom is in his grasp. Phil displays a charm and wit on camera that evaporates the moment the red light goes out. He is bitter, appalling, self-centered, and treats his coworkers with contempt, especially his producer, Rita, and the cameraman, Larry. On February 2nd, 1992, Phil, Rita, and Larry are sent on an assignment that Phil especially loathes, the annual Groundhog Day festivities in Punxsutawney, PA, where the citizens await the appearance of Punxsutawney Phil, the groundhog, who will supposedly determine the length of winter by his ability to see his own shadow. Phil is eager to make a hasty retreat, but when a freak snowstorm strands him in Punxsutawney, he wakes up the next morning with the strangest sense of deja vu. He seems to be living the same day over again. The next morning it happens again, and then again. So no matter what he does, he's stuck in February 2nd, 1992. Not physical imprisonment, nor attempted suicide, nor kidnapping the groundhog gets him out of that loop. But the more Phil relives the day, the more he's forced to look into other people's lives, and something unusual begins to happen. He begins to care about others. He starts to respect people. He even tries to save the life of a homeless man. And he discovers that he's falling in love with Rita, the producer, and therefore wants to become someone that she could actually love in return, not like his old self. Bill had imprisoned himself in his self-centeredness, and that is why he was stuck in the same day. He was the center of his own world. To him, everyone was here to serve him. He disliked everyone in the town. And the only reason he really ever interacted with any of them was he could still gather information about them to exploit them later. He couldn't see anyone's needs because he wasn't looking beyond his own selfish self. Now he's falling in love with Rita the producer, and he's looking beyond himself and seeing people as something other than someone to exploit. He's seen the needs and finding the true joy in serving others. He was growing through service to others. That is what sets him free to move on to the next day and start a new life. This is true in our own lives. When we are self-centered and self-serving, we cannot see beyond our own desires and become imprisoned where every day seems the same. We never grow because we're stuck in the same day. True happiness can only be found when we venture outside of our own sphere and see the needs of others and actually respond to the needs of others. When we're in service, our lives will be connected to each other. Just as we sang in that song about the family of God, we are a family here, and we need to be connected to each other. I know that is true in my own life. One of the ministries that changed my thinking is the prison ministry. When I was asked if I was interested in helping with the prison ministry, actually it was Laura's grandfather asked me that. He's been involved with the prison ministry for years, both the state and the county. I said I had to think about it. I saw how my parents' lives were affected after the house was robbed a few years ago. A lot of things were stolen that could not be replaced. But the biggest thing, which was the hardest thing to replace, was their security and peace of mind. That takes a long time to recover from. After much thought, I decided to become involved in the ministry. Granted, the majority of prisoners will not be rehabilitated and will return to crime. Statistics show that a high percentage of inmates end up back in prison. But there are those who are turning their lives around because they accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I know one man that's one of the leaders there in the ministry that said if he was granted an early parole, that would be fine. But if he is to serve out his entire term, that would be fine also, because he considers this prison ministry to be his mission and his work for God. One program is called CPR, which is Christians Preparing for Release. In this program, Christian inmates give talks to other inmates on various subjects to prepare for them for their life outside of prison when they're released. Some of the past topics are how scars from the past shape our present and future. That's a very important thing. Sometimes scars from our past can really affect us, and they can keep us from growing. And some of them have to do with maybe unforgiveness. And that's something that we have to forgive, or we'll be stuck in that. We won't be able to grow and move past that. How to adopt a new life. Many of those came from lives that were totally different than what we know. And they know they can't go back to that old life, or they'll fall into the same trap that got them into the prison in the first place. And how to be who God appointed us to be. How to actually grow in faith and service. Learning to love yourself. That's one of the ones, if they don't really learn to love themselves, they can't go out and love other people also. And that is sometimes a stumbling block to get over. Sometimes, you know, they have a lot of time in prison to think about things. And I'm sure a lot of them relive their life. And even though accepted Christ, they still suffer the consequences by being in prison and also feeling guilty about what they did. How to leave gang life. That's very tough. If you go back to your old neighborhood, they're there waiting for you. And they're going to just wait to drag you right back into where you were before. How to pray during the tough times. I think that's sometimes a problem that we all have. When things are going good, it's easy to pray, but when the tough times come, that's when it's really hard, and sometimes it's hard to come up with the words, and sometimes it's hard for us to see the blessings that we really have, and it's hard to be patient sometimes to wait for some of the blessings that are coming. They also, one time each year, they have testimonies that come from the parolees, and they talk about their struggles that they've had on the outside, what they've had to overcome, and what they've done, and this is to help the inmates to learn a little bit more what life is like. I often think myself, what if I was removed from society for 20 years? You just think back 20 years, how things have changed. And even if you're not in prison, it's very hard to get a job now if you don't have it without that record and not even knowing what the skill sets are anymore. But I hear that some of their stories of how they grew up fatherless, surrounded by crime, prostitution, drugs and alcohol, and gang life. I think about what my life would be like if I grew up under those circumstances. This makes me grateful for the home I grew up in. Realize that some people grew up in very different conditions, and a lot of those are a product of their environment. Another program is Walking Your Faith. It's a program that lasts approximately, there's two different sections, and it lasts about 35 weeks during the year. This program is designed to help Christian inmates grow in their faith to disciple other inmates. They do a lot of within the prison. Some of the programs they have, they need outside people to be able to hold those programs, but they do have Bible studies that they do within the prison that the inmates do themselves. One of the inmate facilitators in the Walking Your Faith always hands out prayer requests when you're in his group. They break up in small groups, about five men each group, and they cover the lesson. Once you fill that out, you hand it to the person in the right, and he's supposed to pray for what your request was. It was close to a year ago that I was at his table, and he received a prayer request from me. 2 weeks ago, when we had the CPR meeting, he asked me how the people in the prayer request I gave him a year ago were doing. I was surprised and delighted that he was still keeping them in prayer. I know he said to me, he said, you know, it's the real deal. And you often think, you know, with us, do we forget or do we keep praying about people, you know? There's so many things happen in our lives, and sometimes we forget to keep praying for these people. Why should we serve? Matthew 20:28 says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. I look at the cross, you know, if we're looking for questions what we should be doing, we should look to the Bible, but also look to the cross. I look at the cross and I see the vertical section. We're at the bottom, where our sinful lives. The best works that we can do are like filthy rags to God. And God is at the top. We can't get there ourselves. But through Jesus Christ, we can bridge that gap. And I look at the horizontal part of the cross. And that's us as Christians, interacting with each other, but still staying tied to Christ in the center. And if you look, the arms don't come around and make a circle. We're not to remain isolated amongst ourselves. We're supposed to go out and through service involve other people and help other people and bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross. Also, we should be serving to fulfill the Great Commission in Matthew 28:16-20. So some people may be wondering, what can we do in this church? Well, I think we're very fortunate to belong to a church like this, where there's an opportunity for growth through service. To me, it starts with the children carrying the banners in the beginning of the service. I mean, they're getting comfortable with doing things in church. I know when I grew up, a lot of times you sat in your church, and you were quiet, you listened, and you didn't participate. And it made us afraid to sort of move ahead. Many of the youth in our youth group have grown through service by holding different leadership positions within the group and also by participating in church services. Then continuing Christian service and study in college and returning in service to this very church. Now, this is a sign of a healthy church because they always say that we're only one generation away from the church dying. And when you see our young people coming back to serve again, this is a good, healthy church. One thing I want to stress at this time is we're not saved by works, but by God's grace. I want to repeat that because this is something very true. I want to stress at this time we are not saved by works, but by God's grace. Because even our best works are like filthy rags. The works that we do are fruit of the Spirit. The last 2 weeks and the following 3 weeks will be examples of people who have spiritually grown through service in this church. Their growth through service affects our church, our community, and beyond. A lot of these people are involved in organizations that minister outside of the walls of this church. And that is what we're called to do. You may be wondering where you can start to grow through Christian service. I know that sometimes people are a little shy to start. And often if someone personally asks them to get involved, they will. I'm asking you now to look and look at the ministries that we have here and see what fits your need. We all have different gifts, and one of them is probably something that's going to fit into your gifts. Also, it's a great time to learn about different ministries here other than Sunday service and to get to know your fellow church members at the same time. Included in the bulletin is a list of ministries in this church. It's not complete. There are a lot of ministries beyond that. Circle of friends. It also has who the contact person is if you want to get involved in this. Christian education, teens about God, you know, all the juniors about God. Then there is seniors about God. The acronym is something that I think, here's your chance. If you really want to serve and you want to get involved in that, I'm sure that you can change that acronym to something other than SAG. So I think this is a great way for you to respond. Yeah, because they are looking for someone. There's people that want to do it, but they're looking for someone to lead that group. Bible study. That's a very important thing for us to keep growing, and we're fortunate that we have it here. It's every Wednesday night. Band of Brothers. Through the Band of Brothers. Oh, there's Rob. Okay. Through the Band of Brothers, a lot of men have learned to grow and serve others. Little Angels and Junior Church. Then there's also the Pottsville Soup Kitchen. You know, they're looking for help there. I think that's once a month. I'm not sure what the... Is it on a Thursday or... The fourth Tuesday. Okay. And then there is the Christ Church Soup Kitchen that we have here. Third Tuesday. Okay. And Community Food Pantry. I know oftentimes... where's Jeanette? Okay, they're looking for help... to distribute foods. They do that on, is it the second Saturday or? Oh, second Saturday on even months. So you can come there and help. Sometimes they need help putting food away when they get it. But the contact is in there, who to contact. Also the Prayer Shawl Ministry. That's one that isn't listed here, but that's an important ministry. That is the people that are affected by this. I think sometimes we can't imagine. Sometimes people are hurting, they're sick, and they get that prayer shawl, and knowing that somebody loves them and cares for them means a lot. And it also, it means a lot that people are praying for them. And last but not least is the chicken barbecue, where there's always help needed, and money is raised for good causes. By serving with other church members, you will get to know them better and draw closer to them. I know that last fall when we were peeling apples for applesauce, I had the pleasant opportunity to work next to Wendy Kern, Charles, and Pam. I found out a lot about Charles and Pam that I didn't really know. You know, I had Charles in... tag, sing, thank you. And tag. But we never really discussed some of these things about what their interests were and what he actually planned to pursue as a career. And really was glad that we could spend that time together and learn more about each other. And that's how we grow as a family, learning about each other. Excuse me. When Phil the Weatherman was showing his producer, Rita, what his day was like, one of the things he showed her was how he was tossing playing cards into a hat while sitting on his bed. Rita tried to get the cards into the hat, but she was unsuccessful. Phil the Weatherman said that if you practice day after day like he did for 7 hours a day, you'd become very good at it. Rita kept trying with no success. Encouraging Phil said, "Be the hat." And because people within the church building are the church, it's not just the building, it's the people within the church are the church. My challenge for you today is be the church and continue to grow spiritually through Christian service. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we're able to get here together, and we thank you for this church and the body of believers that are in it, and we pray that we are a family. And Lord, we pray that you will open our hearts to help serve you more and to reach the people outside of this church and bring them in and tell them the good news of what Jesus did to die on the cross and save us from our sins. We ask all these things through Christ our Lord. Amen.